بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, yesterday we spoke about the issue of differentiation as the perhaps the single most important sign or secret of leadership or success. And as I said yesterday, differentiation effectively means to be different. So in any given situation, any given challenge, to do what the rest of the world will not do. And to do that in a way which is dignified, which is graceful, and which is beneficial for all concerned. It's not just being freaky. It's doing something in a way which is dignified and graceful and beneficial for all concerned. And we looked at two incidents from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today I want to look at one more incident. But generally speaking about his life, alayhi salam, if you look at the Makkan period, that was a period of maximum oppression, maximum opposition. And this was being done by people who were his own people. There was his, right from his closest family, which was Abu Lahab, there was no one closer than that in terms of relationship. To his tribe, to the sub-tribe, they opposed him. They opposed him in the most heinous of ways. I mean, imagine, he is making sujood, he is praying in front of the Kaaba, he is in sajda, and somebody brings, the intestines of a camel and dumps them on his back, on the back of his neck, on his head, on his back. I mean, I tell people, we should actually get someone to do this for us, just to feel, how did it feel? And remember, even if you get someone to do it as an experiment, the one doing it for you is an experiment. It's not being done by your enemy out of hatred. I mean, if you really want that experience, and may Allah protect us from that, it's the waqar of the Nabi that Allah gives them the strength to bear such things, and Allah keeps us safe from that because we are weak, and alhamdulillah. The point is that it is impossible. Many times we say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam they had no food and so on, and like in the Battle of Khandaq, a man came and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I am so hungry, I have not eaten for, couple of days." And he lifted up his shirt and he had a rock that he had tied around his belly. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifted up his shirt and he had three rocks. Now, how does it feel? How does it feel not to have any food at all for 3 days? In a row. Do we know? We can try it, no? We should try it. Seriously, try that. Don't eat anything for 3 days. Nothing will happen. Absolutely nothing will happen. Drink only water. There's actually a diet therapy where they say for 48 hours, drink only water. At least once in our life, we must try this and see. Just follow that sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For 3 days, I eat nothing. And may Allah give us the ability to do that. We can't even do this as an experiment. It sounds crazy, but for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it wasn't a one-time life experience. They didn't do it because they were dieting. They did it because this was the reality of the difficulty. So differentiation, as I said, in Makkah, there was this opposition the whole time. And we have many incidents of how the people of Makkah opposed him, how they tortured him, how they oppressed him. And remember, oppressing his Sahaba was for Rasulullah ﷺ, it was even more difficult and painful to bear than personal oppression. Because for him, his Sahaba were closer to him and he loved them more than you and I would love our own children. And you and I know that it is easier for you, for example, to have a headache than to see your child sick and your child is suffering and in pain. No? I mean, if you have it, okay, I have it, I'm bearing it, I eat some medicine, something, whatever happens. But if the child is suffering, if your husband or your wife is suffering, may you have such a relationship that you actually suffer when somebody else suffers. That is much more difficult. In terms of your pain, it is much more difficult to bear because here is the suffering in front of me, I can't do anything about it. Now, Rasulullah ﷺ was subjected to both of these. He saw his nearest and dearest people suffer and he himself suffered. But through that whole Makkah period, the differentiation of Muhammad ﷺ is that there is not one single incidence of retaliation. Not one. He did not retaliate and he did not allow his companions to retaliate. And you know and I know and everybody knows that this is not because they were cowards, this is not because they were frightened, this is not because they were, they had no weapons or they could not do anything. No, they could have done it. Maybe they would have won, maybe they would not have won. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying somebody could have retaliated. After all, how difficult do you think it must have been to kill Abu Jahl or to kill Abu Lahab or something? I mean, how tough could it have been? If you think about life in 7th century Makkah, I mean, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab were not surrounded by seven rings of security and they didn't have, GPSs tracking them or they were, at the most, they would have had some bodyguard kind of fellow. Other than that, what? Not one single instance of retaliation. And then, to top it all, he goes to Taif. And there were many people there who were Muslim in Makkah, who he could have taken. He could have gone with the whole delegation. He went only with one person, and that is Zayd bin Haritha, radhiyallahu anhu. And then we know what happened in Taif. So now he comes back from Taif, he is injured. He is injured physically, he is obviously injured emotionally. For someone with waqar, for someone who is mu'azzaz, for someone who has respect and who has prestige, to be insulted publicly, this is a kind of pain and it's a kind of shock that is impossible to describe. It is not somebody who was, I mean, for anybody to be insulted publicly can't be easy, whoever it is. But today, we live in a society where for poor people, this is a routine thing. It happens. I remember a friend of mine telling me the story. He said that he was driving with a friend and his friend was driving this car. And they took a turn or something and there was a rickshaw guy there who was sort of in the way. So this person who was the owner of the car and driving it, he cursed him. He shouted, "Gali Jasu." So I believe the rickshaw man, he stopped, he turned around and he said, "Saab, mai to gareeb aadmi hu, mereko aap gali diye, mai aapko gali diya to kaisa dikhenga bhala kata." He said, "I am a poor man, you cursed me, but how would it look if I curse you?" This is our society today. So if somebody curses you and you are sitting in this fancy car, you feel very insulted. I mean, how are you different from anybody else? But my point is that for somebody who comes from a background of prestige and who had more prestige than Muhammad ﷺ, I'm not even talking about you know, my love for him or your love for him. I'm saying as in Makkan society, who had more prestige than the grandson of Abdul Muttalib? Who had more prestige than the scion of the family of Banu Hashim, who were the caretakers of the Kaaba? Nobody. I mean, these people, they were the creme de la creme. They were the nobility of Makkah because of who they were. And out of that, the grandson of Abdul Muttalib, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I mean, who had more prestige in that society? I'm not talking Islam and non-Islam. I'm saying in that society, who had more prestige? Nobody. And that man was treated so badly in Taif. Not because they did not know who he was. It was not a mistake. They did it deliberately. They knew what they were doing. So now, he is coming back from there. He takes refuge in this garden belonging to two brothers from Quraysh. He is injured physically. He is injured emotionally. You know, today, sometimes we say, when we look at conditions in the world and, you know, conditions and so on, difficulties, we say, no, you know, we should have sabr. So my question is, what else will you have? You should have sabr, that's right. But what else? You have no control anyway. You have no power, you have no authority, you have nothing. So you are saying, I am doing sabr. Of course you are doing sabr. What else will you do? So now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to this garden. And then what happens? Then Jibreel Alayhi Salaam comes. He makes dua. We know the dua. And the dua ends with Hatta Tarda. He said, Ya Allah, I will work to please you until you are pleased. So, Jibreel Alayhi Salaam comes. Along with him comes another malak, another angel. Jibreel Alayhi Salaam says, Ya Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has sent this angel. This is the angel of the mountains. He is under your command. Tell him to do what you want. He will do it. The angel makes salam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, your Rabb has put me under your command. Tell me what to do. I will do it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, what can you do? He says, for starters, I can join these two mountains and there will be no Taif. Even the memory of Taif will be gone. Forget about people of Taif being destroyed. Nobody will even know that there was such a town in this place. So now you have a situation where here is a person who has been unjustifiedly hurt and injured. He didn't deserve that. He did not do anything to earn that. It was something that happened completely unprecedented. Right? He is justifiably, he is the aggrieved party. And now he has power. And he has power given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. Today, if you do something to me and if I retaliate, no matter how justified I might feel, I would still feel, no, I don't know if I retaliate, I mean, will Allah like this or not? Will Allah be pleased or not? Maybe I feel I'm justified, but maybe in the sight of Allah it is not justified. There is some doubt, no? But with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah sent the malak, Allah sent the angel and said, go do whatever he wants. So now if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, smash all these people, where is the question of Allah being displeased with? Allah himself sent the angel. So there is not even a doubt that whatever command that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to that angel, this would be minallahi ta'ala, this is the gift of Allah to his Nabi Alayhi Salaam. There is no question of Allah ever being displeased about that. So here you are injured, here you have absolute power to do whatever you want and with the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed. What does he do? What would you do? What would I will leave you out of it. I'll tell you what I will do. I would say, no, join the mountain but do it slowly. Don't smash, do it slowly. Let them slowly be crushed. May Allah forgive me. Seriously, I'm saying. Maybe this is what I would say. What does he say? He said, Allah did not send me to kill people. He said, my hope with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is maybe if they don't listen to me, their children will listen to me. Don't do anything. This is differentiation. Do what nobody else in the world will do. and do it with grace, and do it with dignity, and do it in a way which is beneficial for all concerned. That is the meaning of differentiation. That is the essence of leadership. And that is the secret of success. Bismillah ta'ala, we'll talk about more of this inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to apply that in our lives. We ask Allah to save us from all tests, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to Him and to take us in a way that is pleasing to Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.